It happened again. It's a little bit of deja vu. Remember on the evening following the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, we had a no-hitter for Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros. That was not even 2 weeks ago. And now we've got ourselves another no-hitter, this time for the Philadelphia Phillies, who are looking strong now as we get through the month of August and through these dog days, getting closer to the stretch run in September. The Phillies look stronger and stronger, and Michael Lorenzen, a big reason why. So he throws the 14th no-hitter in Phillies history. I didn't realize this until I was doing some research. The Phillies haven't even had a complete game since last August. It's been a full year since any pitcher for the Phillies has thrown a complete game. Also, there's the question of, will this cost Lorenzen? Because he throws a career high 124 pitches. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes you get a bit of blowback and fallout when a pitcher goes that deep and has not done it before. It can affect him the rest of the way. Gosh, was it Johan Santana who was never the same after throwing 157 pitches or what? Jay, look it up for me, okay? The exact number of pitches. I feel like it was in the 140s, but I could be exaggerating a bit. If you haven't seen the video of his mom and his wife and his nine-month-old daughter, who obviously is clueless but was still there, and they'll be able to say, you were in the stadium when daddy threw a no-hitter. It's pretty cool. So congratulations to Michael Lorenzen, and congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies, who are surging and have that top spot in the NL wildcard. Did you grab the audio from the clubhouse? Because that was really neat too, actually. Kind of a cool moment. Since Lorenzen just joined the Phillies from Detroit, he's 31 years old. He just joined the Phillies at the trade deadline. And already paying dividends. But beyond that, making history. Some real strong defense behind him too. So there's that component. Maybe this doesn't happen with the Detroit Tigers because of the defense. But yeah, he had already thrown 100 pitches through 7 innings. You'll hear him talk about it. Rob Thompson as well. A banner night. And I have to mention as well that our friend John Kincaid, former CBS Sports Radio host, who is in Philadelphia working on 97.5 The Fanatic. He does the morning show. He had his 5th chemo treatment on Wednesday, and I am quite certain he was watching the Phillies. He's really not taking any time off scheduling his chemo treatments and staying strong, working all the way through this as he battles colon cancer. And so I was excited for him because it's Philadelphia, because he's there. This will give him a jolt of joy and something exciting to talk about, or to tweet about, of course, tonight, but exciting to talk about moving forward. Love it. Absolutely love it. These moments, they're not just pieces of sports history. For families, they are moments of immortality, albeit briefly, but it was really cool to see his family with 2 outs in the 9th inning, his mom, his wife, they're embracing in the stands and they're praying. And then when the final out was a pop-up, they both have their phones out. They're both filming. They're screaming and crying. So I'm sure that'll be picked up on the cell phones, the cell phone video. So awesome. Awesome for Michael, awesome for the Phillies, and great for his family. Not so awesome for the Nationals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How did you survive your hump day? I did see more of your questions coming in for Ask Amy Anything, which is fun. I will do my best to go back and answer some more during the show. So you can keep sending them if you like on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page as well. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Some other baseball diamond drama. Another 1-0 game between the Blue Jays and the Guardians. Another late inning rally for the Astros in Baltimore. A Shohei Ohtani start that turns into his 10th win, and yet he's not happy with it. Phil Nevin will explain what's going on with Ohtani as the summer stretches on. Ron Rivera does a mea culpa. Did you notice that while Ron Rivera was kind of, I wouldn't call it an apology, I would just call it a clarification that certainly had a bit of admonition to it. But did you notice he was reading the whole thing? He delivers this statement essentially almost as though he was afraid that he would say the wrong thing again. So he admits he kind of put his foot in his mouth with the whole Eric Bieniemy situation.
Shit, I had a bad day.
And then he comes back on Wednesday. Then he comes back on Wednesday and he reads his clarification so that he doesn't mess it up. Poor guy. He's so afraid of saying something wrong now. We've got both the AFC and the NFC version of QB news. Why? Well, because the first full week of the preseason kicks off on Thursday evening. And I forgot to get to it last night. We just had some big stories last night. Moving into yesterday morning this morning in our final hour, we kind of ran out of time because I wanted to get back to Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and his reaction to the various conference realignment. We just had a bunch of storylines that I needed to get to, and I ended up not following through on my tease about Steph Curry singing at the top of his lungs and really enjoying his summer. No, he doesn't sing like that. Actually, maybe he does. You will determine for yourself. Top of the hour, we're grateful that James Boyd of The Athletic is a night owl because we've got questions about Jonathan Taylor. We've got questions about the offensive line, or at least I do. Remember how bad the Colts O-line was last season? Poor Matt Ryan. He never stood a chance. And then, who is the quarterback for the Colts? It's interesting because with all of the consternation around Jonathan Taylor and the questions around Taylor and wondering whether or not he's holding out, what's wrong with his ankle, trying to figure out what's going on with JT, it's almost as though the quarterback competition has taken a back seat. So we'll get the answers from James Boyd about 50 minutes from now. 50 minutes is all I could manage when I was running on Wednesday afternoon. I do not know why. I actually slept like a rock, and I have this week slept extremely well, but I could not wake up. I suspect it was because it was hotter than I thought it was going to be. The temps were in the mid-80s when I started, and while there was a nice breeze, it was a little warmer, a little more humid than I expected, and I never really found a kick. It usually takes me about 2 miles to find a groove. And so I start out kind of slowly and then I settle into a rhythm and I usually have energy at some point. Nope, not today. I felt slow, like I was running through molasses or...
It's so damn hot.
Yeah, it was pretty warm. It was pretty warm. I'm just glad that I ran the entire time. It didn't stop. That was really my only goal. And I initially thought, okay, if I can go 20 minutes, that's going to be enough. I don't remember the last time I only ran 20 minutes. and then I thought maybe I'll do a 5K, 30 minutes. No, had to keep going. So I at least pushed myself 51 minutes. But there were a couple times where I scared people in my neighborhood, or maybe not scared them, but at least caught their attention because I try when I'm working out to breathe in through my nose. That's what you're supposed to do. Not only does it slow down your breathing so you're not panting, but also the clean oxygen, the clean air goes directly to your brain and directly into your lungs if you breathe through your nose. So I was trying, but because I was laboring during this run, I would breathe in and then it would come out. It was a tough day.
Box breathing.
But there was no box breathing. Actually, my yoga instructor had us do box breathing on Tuesday night, and I thought of both Jay and Aaron Rodgers because I'm not sure Jay knows what box breathing is, but he continues to drop that little tidbit from Aaron. There was no box breathing. Box breathing, by the way, Jay, is to breathe in 5 or 6 seconds, then hold it the exact same number of seconds, then let it out that same number of seconds, and then inhale, or actually hold it out that same number of seconds. So you inhale, hold it, exhale, hold it, and you do it the same number of seconds. So the idea is it really slows down your breathing, makes it methodical. So it's 5 seconds for each, and then it's 6 seconds for each. And my yoga instructor, Lori, even encourages us to try to do 7 or 8, which can get to be a lot when you're inhaling and then you're holding it and then you're exhaling and then you're holding it out. Yeah, it actually really challenges you, but it's good for your lungs. And it's just, in general, it's a good exercise to kind of slow down your heart rate a little bit.
Sounds kind of peaceful.
Yeah, I guess. I don't do it when I'm running, though. I couldn't possibly do it when I'm running. Instead, it's a... All right, it wasn't that bad the entire time, but there were a few moments where I definitely caught the attention of people who were out and about in the neighborhood. Yeah, something exactly like that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, if you want to check out our YouTube channel, I just found out, and I don't think that this is anything more than a coinkydink of sorts, but remember on last night's show, Jay, where I told you that one of Bob's brothers had mentioned that he'd found our YouTube channel and that he had recommended to Bob that I become the family member who's in charge of the games on, say, Thanksgiving, and that we should do Chubby Bunny on Thanksgiving. I'm sure you remember that. Well, I wasn't sure if Bob's parents had heard about the YouTube channel or the videos, but his mom sends me a text today which had a bunch of other information in it, but as part of her text, it was, "I've been watching your bunny games." That's what
your
she called
bunny
them.
Games.
Your bunny games.
I like
so,
that.
Yeah, apparently the entire family has found out, and all she thinks is that it's a bunny game, and that I should, in fact, be in charge of the games at holidays.
Oh, so she's in.
I'm not in. Forget whether or not they're in. I'm not in. Bunny games, she called
bunny
them.
Games.
Bunny games.
The annual bunny games.
The annual bunny games.
I kind of like that.
Forget the Hunger Games. It's the annual bunny games.
Hunger Games got nothing on the bunny games.
Until someone dies.
which is possible.
Death by marshmallow. Yes. All right. So a lot to get to on this edition of the show. If you would like to find the bunny games, well, you can do so on our YouTube channel, where we do have 4 Chubby Bunny World Championships. And every single one of them has a different winner. So we've had no repeat champions of any sort. It's tough to repeat. Did you know that? Just ask the Houston Astros, who've been trailing the Texas Rangers in that AL West division all season. Just ask the Kansas City Chiefs, who've got a major target on their backs. Just ask the... Trying to think who else would be make it. Oh, well, just ask the Women's World Cup champions for a couple of days longer. Team USA, who was going for a three-peat, but the rest of the world not having it. As in, no. As in, negative, Ghost Rider. Are you suggesting they choked? Is that what you're trying to say? All right, coming up, all of the dirty deets. Michael Lorenzen, the latest in Major League Baseball, the 4th this season, but the latest in baseball history to throw a no-hitter with a career-high number of pitches, 30,400 on hand in Philadelphia. I always love it when it's home. And in just his second start with the Phillies, he now has quite the headline. Really emotional moment for him and for his teammates. You'll hear all of it coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Michael Lorenzen. The 2-2 count on C.J. Abrams. And the pitch. Swung on, hit in the air to right. Castellanos to his left is there. He's got it. And Michael Lorenzen has thrown 8 no-hit innings tonight here at Citizens Bank Park.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
At that point, Lorenzen, in his second start with the Phillies, is being encouraged by 30,400 fans as the Phillies battle the Nationals. And they were well on their way to a win. They already had 6-0 lead, 7-0 lead, something along those lines. So, yeah, he even had to wait out through innings where the offense was generating plenty of support. The 31-year-old who had just been traded from Detroit was already sitting on a career-high number of pitches going into the 9th inning. And I know there have been times earlier in the season this year as well as past years where the debate has ensued if a guy is pitching deeper and farther into a game more than he ever has before, if he's really taxing his arm and testing his arm, do you allow him to go after that no-hitter and that baseball immortality, or do you play it safe? Take the more conservative road and not allow him to pursue this incredible moment. Well, in this case, he went out there. The Phillies allowed him to go out there. Rob Thompson said they had a conversation and he felt like he was strong because the weather wasn't too hot. It wasn't too humid. So into the night they go. And yeah, if you haven't seen the video, definitely watch it because interspersed with his pitching in the 9th on NBC Sports Philadelphia are these shots of his mom and his wife and the 9-month-old daughter. Her name is June, who's kind of, it's a good thing they didn't drop her because they're so excited. They're jumping up and down. They're screaming, passing the daughter/granddaughter back and forth. So yeah, really cool moment, really cool emotional scene. The kind that I love in sports.
Lorenzen being pushed beyond his previous highs and well beyond his previous highs for pitches thrown in a game. He's at 113 thus far. Nobody out, 9th inning. And the 1-1, swinging a bouncer to third. Boom, gloves it, shoulder high. His throw across is in time. One down in the 9th. He's ready. He kicks the pitch. Strike 3, yes. Called. Fastball got him looking.
See ya.
And Michael Lorenzen, one out away from throwing a no-hitter. The Washington Nationals, who have not been no-hit since 1999 when they were still the Expos. It's the longest current streak by any franchise in baseball. Outfield shaded to the opposite field against the lefty Smith. The 3-2 pitch, swing and a high yes. fly ball. Center field coming in is Rojas. He's calling. He has got it.
Yeah.
Lorenzen leaps into the arms of Real Muto. And the Phillies pile out of the dugout. In front of the mound, they celebrate a no-hitter tonight by Michael Lorenzen in his second start as a Philly.
They're pouring in from the bullpen. The fans are going crazy. Everybody's filming it. What a night.
Michael Lorenzen. We thought 8 innings against Miami was a good deal.
Really?
He throws a no-hitter over the Washington Nationals 7-0 tonight. In his second start in a Phillies uniform.
That's a dream come true right there. It really is. Man, I'm speechless. It's a dream come true, and I'm so blessed. And man, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. There were some hard hit balls. They're right at guys. And so, I'll take that all day.
On NBC Sports Philly, he actually told the TV outlet and said after the fact that he wasn't sure this was going to be a good start early on.
Honestly, I was upset at myself for those first couple of innings. They were long innings, walking guys. And I knew, like, oh, man, I just ruined my chances to go deep in this game. And I had a couple quick ones, so I just kept trying to make them quick. And thankfully, Skip pulled me aside, said, how you feeling? I said, I'm feeling good. It's nice and cool outside. It's not too hot. I'm recovering nicely. So just kind of was trying to buy some more innings, and he gave it to me. So hats off to him.
It's incredible. You know, I've seen a lot of things. And during this entire homestand, there's so many storylines. You know, the Trey thing, the standing ovation, the no-hitter tonight, the Weston Wilson coming up. Baseball is a wonderful game, and there's so many magical moments. And when you can do it in front of your home fans, like these things have happened this week, because our fans are just off the charts passionate. It just, you know, makes you just love the game.
JT Realmuto, by the way, catches his second no-hitter as a major leaguer. And certainly, if you listen to more of Michael Lorenzen, you know that he mentions JT multiple times. And actually, he did the same as Rob Thompson was toasting him in the clubhouse for this great success.
Mike, unbelievable, bro. Two outings here, innings, first time, saved our bullpen, 9-9, no hitter, unbelievable. Welcome to Philadelphia, buddy.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Best job, Dave.
Appreciate it, guys. JT, incredible. You've caught me twice. Second time, no. They're hitting missiles, but thankfully they're just to center field. Thankfully they were all to center field, so good defense. But JT, like, that's incredible, man. Appreciate you. Love you, brother. Love you guys. Thank you for being so welcoming. It means a lot. Thank you, guys.
And no joke, first complete game by any Philadelphia Philly since last August. This does not happen very often in Major League Baseball, and yet we've seen four no-hitters this season, including the perfect game by Domingo Germán. The only thing about his season that was even remotely perfect. And Framber Valdez not even 2 weeks ago. So it's just, it's nutty. What's down is up. What's up is down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. So it wasn't a no-hitter, but it was another pitcher's duel, which is what this chick digs. I know the old adage is chicks dig the long ball, and that's true for me when we're talking about the home run derby. But for the most part, I dig the pitcher's duel. We had a 1-0 victory for the Guardians over the Blue Jays on Tuesday. Would you believe it was another 1-0 game again on Wednesday?
From the line, the 3-2, a fastball deep out to left. Kwan racing back to the wall, turns around, and it's gone! George Springer wins the battle with a solo home run. On the 13th pitch of the at-bat, Springer makes it 1-0 Toronto.
I'm trying to put the ball in play, I'm just trying to get something to hit. Ended up hooking some balls into their dugout, kind of spoiling some, and then was able to hit one out.
Yeah, I was just able to hit one out, but really tense after that because his home run came in the first inning and it was the only run of the game again. Some good stuff happening in Major League Baseball. We still have to get to top of the American League East, where it's the Houston Astros putting the Baltimore Orioles to the test. And I think part of what we're going to see with Baltimore, they're a really good team. I'm not telling you they aren't. They've put these pieces together. It's been more of a slow burn. I know they had a winning record last year, but a lot of these guys are young. And collectively, there's not a lot of postseason experience there. And so you compare that to the Astros, who have a bunch of guys who have not just one ring. The majority of the team would have the one ring, but some of them have two rings and have been part of what's been a really impressive run by this Astros group. In addition to the two World Series, they've been to ALCS. They've been in some really tense postseason battles. So the experience factor is on the side of the Astros. They know no matter what, even without trash cans, but yes, definitely with trash cans, they can withstand some of the pressure of what happens when you get to October. And Baltimore is learning that. So maybe being part of the best division in baseball, that's helpful because they have had to reel in the Tampa Bay Rays. They passed the Rays. Now can they hold off the Rays and the Blue Jays in the AL East? So yeah, there is some tension, some sense of urgency even now in August, but there's nothing to replicate the experience of playing in an ALCS or a World Series the way the Astros have it. So I think this is a good time for the Astros and Orioles to meet. It's a good benchmark. Doesn't mean it's a sign of things to come. It just means that it's a good taste of potential postseason baseball, an opportunity for the Orioles to kind of step up and feel what that's all about. Now, it is in Baltimore. I kind of feel like it would be even better for them if it was in Houston, but they're learning on the job as they head through the 23 season. So we'll get to that one. Also, Atlanta with a late rally, definitely needed to come up with a win there. And Ohtani on the mound and at the plate, even though he's tired. You can tell he's tired. Jay, are we still going to go see him and the Angels against the Mets later this month? What if he's tired and he takes the day off?
No, that can't happen.
That can't happen. We don't want to go see the Mets otherwise. The only reason we're going to Citi Field is to see Ohtani. So if he doesn't, now I don't know if he'll pitch, but if he doesn't DH, well, I'm leaving.
Oh, absolutely. We're not staying there. But hopefully they'll be still in the midst of like the wild card run by late August, and he'll have to be in the lineup, you know, or else they would just be like, you know, not trying to win. So that's what we're banking on, that they're still within, you know, 5 to 6, hopefully, games, and he has to play.
Well, he would play anyway just because the Angels are not giving up. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Their owner, their front office, they've gone all in now. So they're, yeah, doesn't matter if they're 20 games back. They're going to treat it like it's a Bennett race.
Yes and no. That's a road game. He doesn't get the gate for that.
He doesn't, but he better play. Because that's the only reason.
He's going to get a game off. It's going to be on the road.
Oh,
I hate to tell you that.
Only reason that Jay and I are going.
Understood.
Like purchasing tickets.
Understood.
Like actually buying them from the Mets.
Understood.
If I'm on the train in and the lineup comes out and he's not in it, I'm getting off at the nearest stop and getting on the next train.
You're just
going to
stand me up?
I mean, you could do what you wish with the tickets, okay. But.
Ouch.
I would let you know, of course, that I will not intend to not be there.
Oh, you'll just not turn around and not show up.
Yeah,
you'll
just be
at least
like, hey,
let me know.
Around. Like,
oh, great. Thanks. I appreciate that. You'll be reimbursing me for the tickets. Actually, I lost a bet, so I have to buy the tickets regardless. Oops. I hope your phone isn't working on the way in on the train.
We're not speaking this into existence. He's going to play.
Yes, he is. That's all we care about. We just want to see him. Have you seen him yet?
No.
When was the last time you went to a baseball game in person? I know you have 7 kids now, but.
I want to say 2016 or 2017. I'm not sure. Somewhere in that area.
Do you miss it?
Yes. And I've been talking about trying to go. And this year I really wanted to go. And things I didn't expect to have, you know, a 2-month-old now.
But
so that kind of messed
up. Can you take your oldest son? I feel like he needs some special attention.
That would be awesome. Too bad he hates sports.
Oh.
So, yeah, that would be a waste of time. Never mind the money, the time.
I love it.
Because he would be like,
sports.
What are we doing here?
He doesn't ever want to hear you recite the starting quarterbacks in every Super Bowl going back to the very first one.
No. Has no, zero interest in anything sport related. And actually gets angry when it's on the TV.
What does he do?
He gets, you can see it. He gets visibly annoyed. And you hear like an old man. Oh. Yeah. Now, part of it's because I don't think he likes sports, and part of it is I think he's angry that sports are the reason why I'm not home every night.
Oh,
I think that bothers him.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's part of it. Nine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's part
of it. He's understanding.
So it's partly because he doesn't care for sports and because he knows that that's what I do. He doesn't really understand, I don't think, exactly what I do, but he knows that that has something to do with it, and that's why I'm not there at night, and it bothers him.
It's interesting because I actually think having a family, my family, cares very little about sports. Mm-hmm. My brother and I played a bunch of sports when we were kids. My mom's husband loves football, and they'll watch the NBA playoffs because my mom enjoys that. But for the most part, they care so little about sports. Mm-hmm. My nieces, they played for a little bit when they were in high school, but not their thing. My sister-in-law, I'm not even sure she knows the difference between basketball and, well, cricket, whatever. So none of them are into sports. And I always thought, well, early on, I thought I need to marry someone. I need to be with someone who loves sports because then they'll understand me. As it turns out, now at this point in my career, I don't want someone who's as crazy about sports or crazier about sports than I am because I'd never get away from it. So it's good for you, I think, at home that you can get a little break from it.
I mean, look, it's fine. I've never pushed it on them, so I don't know. I mean, I don't push it on any of my kids. So if you like it and that's what you want to do, great. If you don't, then great. Like, I don't care. None of that stuff bothers me. I guess to get away.
It's good for me to get away.
I will admit there are times where I want the TV back, though. So, yeah, I mean, it depends
well,
on.
Well, then don't have seven children if you want the TV back.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't think of that, huh?
I didn't think of anything. And let's not make it seven. Let's not speak that into existence, all please.
Right. You're halfway there.
Three. Three.
You're halfway there.
End it at three.
End it? That's it? We're ending it?
Yes.
You're done?
Please, yes.
Are you even more tired than you were before?
I didn't know it was possible, but yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm too old. I'm too fat. There's no,
oh,
no, 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 no.
Stop it.
No more.
Say things
no more.
Like that.
No more. No more.
Okay. But don't say things like that. No. Negative Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Resisting that. Not here on the show. You don't get to beat yourself up here on this show.
A little busted.
Yeah, I can understand.
Enough.
You're exhausted.
Enough.
I got you. All right. Let's not highlight poor Marco's sadness and his exhaustion.
No, I mean, again, you got kids. Everybody knows. They're awesome and they suck all at the same time. So it is what it is.
It's totally fun.
Yeah. That's the way it is. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. They're awesome and they suck all at the same time.
OMG. All right, coming up, Ron Rivera, he reads a prepared statement. He's been sufficiently admonished. I wonder if somebody got to him or if he just did this all by himself. And we'll get to a little more of the baseball. Top of the hour, is Jonathan Taylor hurt? Is he holding out? What's going on with the Colts star running back?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Eric Bieniemy is who he is, okay? Eric Bieniemy knows how to adapt and adjust. Eric Bieniemy is a tough, hard-nosed coach. But also understand, I'm going to be their biggest and harshest critic, but I'm also their number one fan because I got their back and I'm going to support them at all times.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is Eric Bieniemy speaking in the third person about Eric Bieniemy. And this on the heels of Ron Rivera admitting that multiple Commanders had come to him a little concerned about Bieniemy's intensity and his yelling in practice, about how he was riding them in practice. I got a good chuckle out of this when I first heard the story and heard what Bieniemy had to say. If you, first of all, if you're the Commanders offense, I'm pretty sure you need someone to ride you in practice because you've sucked for years. Okay, so you do need some coaching. You need some expertise. Let's not act like you're Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs that don't need to be coached up, okay? Second of all, it's practice. If you can't take someone getting on your ass in practice, how are you going to survive the rigors and the intensity and the pressure of an NFL season? In practice, with your own people, you should know everyone's got the same goal. But you can't stand someone yelling at you? Toughen up, or you're not going to last the NFL season. And Furthermore, your team's not going to do very well either. If you can't handle a little yelling, what are you going to do when the game is on the line and you've got 90 seconds to get down the field? Seriously, what is happening to pro athletes these days? They need Cliff Kingsbury to give them a timeout so they can go hang out with their phones. My goodness.
This is a Gen Z thing.
It must be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We heard from Ron Rivera in admitting that some of his players didn't like Bieniemy's style.
I had a number of guys come to me and I said, hey, just go talk to him. I said, understand what he's trying to get across to you, you know. And I think as they go and they talk and they listen to him, it's been enlightening for a lot of these guys. Again, you get a different kind of player from the players back in the past, especially in light of how things are coming out of college football. So a lot of these young guys, you know, they do struggle with certain things.
He did admit that some of these guys, I'll translate for you, they're not used to being yelled at. So yes, they're a little softer. Now you're professional football players. But Ron Rivera also talks about the fact, or he did talk about the fact that, hey, there's other guys with coaching experience who maybe get to know the players first before they develop a style. Ooh. And on Wednesday, Rivera read a statement indicating that he wasn't clear. He didn't say what he meant to say about Eric Bieniemy.
I realize my comments yesterday took on a different life than I intended yesterday. And that's on me for not being as clear as I needed to be. I'll own that. At the end of the day, we know that we're trying to build here and we're all aligned. As I've said many times since I've hired Eric, I love the overall message that he gave to the team his first day. And that was basically, we got to learn to be comfortable when we're uncomfortable.
We have to be comfortable when we're uncomfortable. Well, that might include a coach riding you. A coach that comes from the Super Bowl champions, where he spent 10 years working with some of the best, offensive records, a two-time MVP, five consecutive AFC championship games hosted in Kansas City, and somehow you can't take the coaching unless it's delivered at an even keel, indoor voice, or potentially a whisper that doesn't hurt your feelings? No. No. How are you ever going to make any progress and become a winning team if you can't handle a little yelling? Oh my gosh. The man's intense. Maybe you can learn something. Yeah, Ron Rivera, he says he put his foot in his mouth.
We talked about it and it's, you know, and it was just, I basically told him I put my foot in my mouth. I think what I said wasn't as clear as it needed to be. And I think the understanding of it is just the fact that I think everybody's making, in my opinion, a little bit more than needs to be made of this.
Oh, well, you know, that's what we do when it comes to the NFL. We always make more of it than needs to be made of it. In fact, it's our tradition week one in the NFL, Sunday night week one. It's our tap the brakes NFL Sunday, in which we allow you to overreact like nobody's business. And then we tell you, tap the brakes, baby, tap the brakes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. My mom sent me a text that said, it's almost your weekend. She thought it was Thursday night. Sorry, Mom.
That's the worst.
It's not, but also, ouch, I got excited there for a second. I did that to James once on a Wednesday afternoon. I texted him, happy almost Friday, because I forgot for a second.
I weirdly thought of that today when I woke up, to be honest. It's funny you mentioned it.
Sean is in Maryland. Sean, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was telling him, I was like, Bieniemy, he's from our generation, and he's trying to teach these guys the way he was taught, and they're too soft to take the hard, you know what I'm saying? It's like we've raised a bunch of soft athletes who are used to getting their way for nothing, and they don't, it's like they don't earn it. They just expect it to be given to them.
Yeah, I do agree that there is more of the entitlement among really any, not just athletes, but anyone from a younger generation. However, I don't think it's fair to group them all into the same category.
Not all of them.
Yeah. I mean,
but just the majority.
Well, I mean, I don't even know that. It maybe was only two or three guys who were complaining, you know, being a little concerned about the yelling. But I would say in general, right, as a group, the Commanders don't have a leg to stand on because they've had one of the worst offenses and really have had had their struggles with offenses going back now for several years. Since Rivera got there, they haven't had a notable offense. Even the year they won the NFC East, I guess it was his first year coaching, in D.C., they had a record below 500.
But what they ought to do is look at, like, Eric was in Kansas City, and if this is his coaching style and Kansas City has won two Super Bowls, maybe he knows what he's doing and maybe they should listen.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, considering where he's coming from and the track record, the resume, I would think the last thing in the world you want to do is get Eric Bieniemy to change. Instead, what you recognize is that he brings credibility and equity and experience, and they need all of that.
I'll take him in Pittsburgh if they don't want him.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Sean, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Bye.
Ooh, bye. I like that. All right, coming up, Jonathan Taylor, is he in camp? Is he injured? Is he trying to make a statement? And without JT, where do the Colts go if they have a rookie quarterback? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.